Congregation, the scripture reading this morning is Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. And this chapter forms also the text for the sermon of this morning. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these, 3 presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. And then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, forasmuch as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king, and said thus unto him, "King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree, and sign the writing, that it be not changed, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree, "Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" The king answered and said, "The thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Then answered they and said before the king, "That Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day." And then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. And then these men assembled unto the king, and said unto the king, "Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed." Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, "Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? And then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel, and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, forasmuch as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men who had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them, and brake all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. So far the reading of God's holy word. Beloved congregation, this chapter, Daniel 6, is well known. I think, boys and girls, that you know this history very well. You know exactly what happened. Your mom and dad have read those stories to you of what the Lord did to save Daniel from a lion's den. It was a miracle of God's grace, because the Lord was with him and saved him. The Lord was with him as he has promised, Lo, I am with you all the days until the end of the world. And we see that here in this chapter in a very special way, that the Lord has delivered Daniel. We think of the name Jesus. The name Jesus means he shall save his people. And that is what happens. That happens by his grace in the life of his people. The Lord Jesus saves his people, is with them, even in difficult circumstances. He knows what people go through when they confess his name and when they are in danger. Some of God's children have been put in the arenas in the days of ancient Rome. And they were wild animals. And they were killed by those animals. But the Lord was still with them. They experienced that. There are accounts known that they went joyfully into the arena, telling each other, this is the day of our victory. And of course they were afraid of what would happen. But there are accounts from ancient manuscripts from the early church. I read them last week. Of how they were comforted and strengthened that the Lord would spare them even from pain even from distress, and so they could enter the arena with good courage, because the Lord knows what His people are going through, and He will be with them. It's not maybe or perhaps. No, He is right beside them. And they knew that. And they felt that. With Daniel, it was the same thing. The angel of the Lord came and closed the mouth of the lions. The Lord was there. But with Daniel, it was with this purpose that Daniel would be spared. So that was very special. The Lord will be glorified by this. So this is a very special account. We'll try to meditate on it. We consider Daniel in the lion's den. And we see three things. First, there's a proclamation. Secondly, there's a predicament. And thirdly, there's protection. So we see Daniel in the lion's den. This first is proclamation of that law, that decree. And then there's a predicament that Daniel finds himself in. But then there is protection, what the Lord does. So King Darius is 62 years old. It's quite an age to take over a kingdom. And he had to take over the huge kingdom of Babylon and also what Persia already had. He now has to administer this huge empire. How can he do that? So he comes up with a wise plan. He entrusts the administration to 120 governors. And each one takes care of a special area. And they all have to report to three men. They're called here presidents. And Daniel is the chief of them. And those three presidents, they give an account to King Darius. And so Darius had the administration of his huge empire well organized. We must realize that Daniel has now become quite old. He was around 14 when Nebuchadnezzar took him out of Jerusalem. And we are now much further, about 50 years or longer, further in his life. We can calculate it that Daniel must have been around 80 at this time. But he was still strong and able, still functioning very well as an administrator of the kingdom. And he was known for his excellent spirit within him. And King Darius had also noticed that, and his advisors. So when they took over the empire of Babylon, they used Daniel and his services to work for the kings of Persia. And so the Lord had richly blessed Daniel. He was able, in spite of his age, to do all this work. And this is what God's word also tells us. In Psalm 92, it says, "The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. And even when they are old, they will be flourishing." So the Lord gave his faithful servant an important position. And the Lord blessed Daniel. And so the Lord displayed that he alone is powerful and able to sustain. He alone is God. And Daniel, he had an excellent spirit, we read here. That was the spirit of God. The Lord God dwelt in the heart of Daniel. And so the Lord made him to be very honest. And in high places, there can be much corruption. But Daniel never participated in such corruption. He was focused on the well-being of his king and the well-being of the people and the empire. And this ability that Daniel had, it came from God. Also in daily life, you can have certain abilities, certain gifts, but realize that it's the Holy Spirit who gives certain gifts to people in daily life that is not connected in the first place to spiritual blessings, but to daily blessings. And the Lord has endowed you with certain ability in your daily work and a degree of wisdom and strength. Realize that is His gift granted to you. And especially when the Lord may work spiritually with His Spirit in your heart. Well, that's a rich blessing. Such people become very honest and reliable. And they are noticed in this corrupt world. Those people, they stick out clearly. And can people say that of your life? What's the impression that people have of you? Do they detect in you an excellent spirit? How do you deal with colleagues at work? How do you deal with other people? Are you honest? Are you reliable? Can people count on you? Are you faithful to your own word? You see, that's how the Lord teaches His people. Also in the way we do our business, how we conduct ourselves. Well, Darius noticed that Daniel was upright and honest. But he was not the only one. Those 120 governors, they also realized that Daniel was very upright and very wise and able. And they also knew that Darius wanted to promote Daniel to be actually the second in control of the whole realm. And those governors, they were jealous. They didn't like it that Daniel, they referred to him as one of the captives of Judah. And he is now going to be our boss? No, we don't want that. They knew the king wanted to promote him. And they wanted, therefore, to stop that. They wanted to get rid of Daniel. And so, they analyzed the situation. They tried to find out in the track record of Daniel if he had ever done something wrong. Then they could accuse him and stop that promotion. But they could find nothing. Daniel was upright and sincere and honest, did his work very well. Well, then they observed him and they realized his secret was that he feared God, that he loved God and he worshipped his God. And they realized if they wanted to do something against him, they should attack him in his religion. There was a connection between his uprightness and ability and his religion. Now, that's very beautiful. If people at work notice that you are upright, friendly, kind, honest, sincere, reliable, and when they connect that to the fact that on Sundays you go to church and that you wish to fear the Lord in your life, that's beautiful if they can make that connection. Because it's God-honoring. It's because of the fear of the Lord that you are so reliable and honest and friendly and kind. That's honoring to God when they realize that's because you know God. And that's how it was in the life of Daniel. They realized that Daniel would not compromise religious convictions. And when they could find nothing in his daily conduct, they realized they must attack his devotion to his religion. And so they come up with a very shrewd plan, a wicked plan. They were resolved to get rid of Daniel. So they went to King Darius, and they used flattery. They used lies to coerce Darius to issue a decree. And the decree would be that nobody could ask anything of any man or God except for Darius. That they had to ask Darius. That Darius, what was the issue here? Darius was then considered to be a mediator between the people, his kingdom, his realm, and the gods. So that will be honoring to Darius. And of course, these men, they used flattery, and they used all kinds of reasons why Darius should do this. This will strengthen your authority. This will cause people to be unified, and it will be very beneficial for your kingdom. And so Darius is being flattered that being said that he should assume a position of great importance. And so when people are flattered, they let their guard down. They kind of like to be flattered. It has an intoxicating effect. It boosts one's pride and takes away his ability to consider what is right or wrong. So the governors tell Darius that he should state this decree. No man may ask anything from any man or God except that they first go to Darius. Now, does that mean if one goes to his next door neighbor and wants to borrow a shovel, that he has to first go to the royal court and ask that? No, that's not the issue. The issue is a religious issue here, that they should not pray to any god, but it should be directed through Darius to their gods. The aim of this all was not to promote Darius, but it was to get rid of Daniel, because they realized he was so upright, he would never pray to a man, but only to God. And then they could orchestrate his downfall because he had been disobedient to this decree. Those men, they use flattery. And that's how the devil always works. The devil tells you that you are very important and that you do not deserve what you're going through, and that you need a much better life, and that you would do far better if you listen to what he is suggesting you to do. That's how the devil came to Eve in the garden, by flattery and using lies, because the devil always lies. And so we must be careful, watchful for his deceits. But King Darius was not watchful. He was flattered. He did not even consult with the most important governor, which was Daniel. He considered this request. He was impressed by it. And he signed the decree. And then the proclamation was made. And nobody was allowed to pray to any god for 30 days. Except to King Darius. This was the proclamation. But it formed a great predicament for Daniel, because Daniel heard of this decree. And probably he read it. He heard it being announced. He realized immediately what this meant, that it would be very dangerous for him. If he would violate the law of the Medes and the Persians, then he would have to be thrown into the den of lions. And how did Daniel react? Did he panic? No, he did not panic. He realized exactly what was at stake. He realized exactly that his life could be lost. He did not do what most of us would have done. We would have wondered, how can we avoid this predicament? How can we wriggle out of it? We would think, well, can we run to the nearest airport and take a flight to a foreign country? Or can we emigrate somewhere? Can we go way up north? Or whatever. Or we can just pretend. And that we just pray in our mind. And that no one notices. So to avoid the lion's den and to get out of this predicament. And even if we would have to ask something from King Darius, we could formally just do that. Make it a little minor issue. A little issue, just ask a favor of King Darius, and then after that you can pray later on after 30 days. You can stop prayer for 30 days. And then after that you can still pray to the Lord God. And so there are all these ways how to wriggle out of this predicament. And we could make it a very minor issue to just formally ask something of Darius. But in the meantime, you would be obeying this decree. You know, the devil always works with something that's very minor. In the early church, they only had to throw some incense into a fire. And that would be for the emperor. Then they would not have to go into the arena. They would not have to be torn to pieces. And in the days of the Reformation, they had to bow their heads for the Roman Catholic Mass. Then they would not be burned to death. Just a minor thing. But that minor thing means actually denying the truth of the Lord. And therefore God's children could not do that, not in the early church, and not in the days of the Reformation. And Daniel did not want to obey this at all. Daniel did not even consider this to be a predicament for him. He just laid it aside. It was no discussion for him. It was no issue. He knew exactly what he had to do. He was not even caught between a rock and a hard place. He knew exactly what he had to do and what he was going to do. Because this was the commandment of the Lord. And his response was, he went straight to his bedroom and opened the windows in the direction of Jerusalem. And he went on his knees and he prayed as he had always done. He was on his knees at the sign of humility. He had the windows open towards Jerusalem because that's what King Solomon had prayed about at the inauguration of the temple, that when the people of Israel would be in a faraway country, that if they would open their windows and pray in the direction of Jerusalem, that the Lord God would hear their prayers. And that's what Daniel was doing, praying towards Jerusalem. And how did Daniel pray? In verse 11 you read, he made supplication before God. And what is that, boys and girls? Supplication. That is actually laying all your needs before God. Your petitions. It's humbling yourself before God and asking Him what you need in all what you are struggling with. Petition is when you're sick and you need health, or when you're in pain and you need deliverance, or when you need light in your soul. supplication is begging God to be merciful to me, the sinner. And that's what Daniel was praying for. Yes, he knew that he was a sinner. Later on in Daniel 9, we'll read about how he humbled himself before the Lord because of his sins. And he confessed that the people of Israel had sinned, but I have also sinned. And so he confessed. That's how Daniel was supplicating before God. He needed grace. He needed the Lord's nearness because he knew that in his flesh there was no good thing. So he was supplicating before the Lord. But he was also thanking God. Thanksgiving he did for all that the Lord had given. In verse 10, you read that. And he prayed. He sought communion with the living God, distancing himself from the world 3 times a day in his room, looking out towards Jerusalem to be alone with God. So Daniel just continued what he had always been doing. He did not flinch. He did not hesitate. He did not panic. He knew exactly what he had to do. And he did it. What Daniel did was living by faith. He lived by faith. He was looking at the task laid before him. And the divine commandment stated that he had to agree upon, that he had to obey. It was the first commandment. No other gods before me. And Daniel realized that. That's why he was not at all going to pray to Darius. He would pray only to the Lord God. That was for him the issue. He wanted to be obedient to the Lord. That's faith. Faith is obedience, being obedient to the Lord. That's a characteristic of Christian life. It is to be obedient to what the Lord says in his word, that we don't go by what people tell us, but by what the Lord tells us. And even the threat of death may not stop Daniel from doing that which is right. He must obey the Lord. The circumstances may change, but the duty does not change. And how was it possible that Daniel did not panic? How come? How can we explain that? How was it possible that he perfectly understood what he had to do and that he was set upon doing it? Well, the answer is he was used to prayer throughout his entire life. He had been accustomed to a life of prayer. He knew what it was to pour out his heart unto the Lord. He had been doing that from his early teens on, throughout his entire life. He so often in his life had to say no to certain things. It was a part of his life that he would not defile himself with idol worship. He was used to stand alone. He was accustomed to it. And therefore the Lord endowed him with much grace and strength. And even if he would be the only person in the whole Persian Empire who would not pray to Darius but to his God, well then so be it. You see, Daniel was a man of conviction. And that's a result of seeking the Lord and living with God throughout your life. It breeds this fruit of conviction and of devotion and dedication. And at the age of 80, Daniel was not going to change. The fruit of living a life long with the Lord is devotion and dedication and faithfulness to the Lord. In the early church, there was a faithful minister. He had been trained by the Apostle John. And the name of this faithful minister was Polycarp. Some of you may know the name. Well, at a certain occasion, the Roman soldiers had arrested him. And he was told he had to burn incense for the emperor as a sign of worshipping the emperor. And his response was that, "For 80 years, I've been serving the Lord God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he has always been faithful to me. Am I now going to change? That can never be." And the result was that Polycarp was put to death. But he was a man of conviction. And you know, we need in our day and age young people who learn to be people of conviction. And we need to be men and women of conviction. And you receive that conviction by being immersed in the Word of God and by being accustomed to pouring out your desires and your needs before the Lord, that you are accustomed with communing with God. And that breeds strength, that breeds independence. And that's what we need. Not to go by what the world dictates us. Not to go by what people tell us. But thus saith the Lord, that has all authority to us. And that everything the Lord says, we can only say amen to that. So be it. If the Lord speaks of judgment, then we say amen to that. And if the Lord speaks of his offer of rich grace, then we say amen to that. It is obedience to the Lord. That's a result of fearing God. And that's how it was with Daniel. And so he withstood the temptation to just pray in his heart secretly. He could have been tempted that he would stop prayer for 30 days. Then he could just pray to God again. There could have been 1,000 plausible reasons why Daniel should somehow comply. But he refused to do so, because his conscience was held captive to the Word of God. You know, when a person falls into sin, it can be because of a sudden assault of the prince of darkness. That suddenly someone falls into a sin. It's also possible that slowly but steadily a person's faith starts to erode. And that slowly but steadily his ability to withstand becomes weaker and weaker. But that's not how it was with Daniel. He remained steadfast. He was not intimidated by threats. He was not wearied by a drawn-out process of temptation. He stood firm in his God. There's only one God. Him we must trust. And upon him we must build our house. He must be the foundation of our life. And this God has spoken in his word. And therefore, young people, immerse yourself in his word. And take time to read the scriptures. And to pray over what you read. You have a life ahead of you, the Lord willing. And you do not know what will all happen in our society, in our world. But you do have the living word with you, young people. Read that word. May that be the most important part of your daily life. To read God's word carefully. And then to pray over it. And then the Lord will make you a young man of conviction, or a woman who knows where she stands, because the Lord will instruct you. Well, Daniel was in a great predicament, humanly speaking. And what would you and I have done? If you would have been confronted with such a decree, what would you have done? Or maybe would have said, we will pray in private. But if it comes to a public demonstration that's required of you, the people in North Korea, they have to bow before an image of their leader. And if they don't do that, they will go to a concentration camp. And how would we react? Daniel could, as it were, hear the lions already roaring. But now already he was being attacked by the most dangerous lion. That's the devil who goes around as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. That's the adversary. And how can we resist? By living as Daniel, though lifelong. And you see here that the devil also assaults prayer. It's something we should realize. Because here Daniel was not allowed to pray. And so you may realize that the devil will also try in your personal life to attack your prayer life. Because the devil is not afraid of clenched fists, but he is afraid of folded hands who cry out to the almighty, omnipotent, glorious God. That's what he doesn't like. And that's why he tells you, you're too tired now to pray. Or you have no time now to pray. Or he has all kinds of excuses. Or he bothers you with thoughts going, zeroing in into your mind. All kinds of thoughts. Even crazy thoughts while you're trying to pray. You know, don't be amazed when that happens. Don't think something's wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you. But that's the evil one firing darts at you to try to stop you to pray. And what should you do? Wrestle. Wrestle in prayer. Continue on in spite of all those thoughts, in spite of all those obstructions, to carry on and to take time and to persevere in prayer so that you don't just skip over your prayers or do it quickly, rushed, but that you take time to look unto the Lord and to pour out your heart unto Him. But keep in mind that the devil will try to assault prayer. That's what's happening here with Daniel in a literal sense. You know, prayer is compared to oxygen. Your body needs oxygen. And if you don't breathe, that's a big problem. But that's a spiritual with our soul too. Our soul also needs spiritual, heavenly oxygen. And that's prayer. We need to pray. And when you neglect prayer, it may seem that things go well in your life, but you are depriving yourself of heavenly oxygen. And that's what the devil wants, to cut you off from the source of life, from the realm of spiritual life. Neglecting prayer, it can be a problem. It can be something we do. There may be something wrong in your marriage, that you're not living according to your marital vows, that you're not loving your wife as you should, or you're not obeying and loving your husband as you should. And that can form an obstruction in your prayer life. Or there can be certain sins that we are doing that we cover up and don't want to confess. We can be in a quarrel with someone. We can be sloppy in the service of the Lord. We can be neglecting the Word of God. And then prayer does not function. So we need prayer in our lives. Prayer to the living God is what we need. We need the Lord God more than anything else in our lives. And Daniel knew that. That's why he did not flinch. But Daniel persevered in prayer. And we think of the Lord Jesus Christ and all this. How can God hear your prayers? It's not because of you, but it's because of the finished work of His Son. Through His Son, as the mediator, the only God-given mediator, God can hear prayer. Darius is not the mediator. Mary is not the mediator. But the Lord Jesus Christ is the only mediator. Because He paid the penalty for sin. And He lived a perfect, obedient life. And on the basis of that work, a sinner can have communion with a holy God. It's all in Christ Jesus. And therefore we need Christ in our lives to be our all in all, to be our perfect covering that will give an access to the throne of grace. And that's what Daniel had. And then we see the protection. Because Daniel kept on praying as he had done before. And those shrewd governors were spying on him. They were watching him. And we imagine them bursting into his room and finding him there on his knees praying to God. And in triumph, they went to King Darius, telling him, "You have just signed a decree, have you not? That anyone who prays to any God except you will be thrown to the lion's den." And then they pointed out that Daniel had been praying to his God, and he has not been praying to you. So he must now be thrown into the lion's den. And it's a law of the Medes and the Persians. And you signed it, King Darius, and that law cannot be overturned. So he has to go into the lion's den. King Darius was greatly displeased. And he tried to spare Daniel somehow. He labored to do that, but he couldn't do that. He realized he had been tricked by these governors. Then at the end of the day, when the sun was starting to set, he said, "All right, Daniel." He called Daniel. And the king said a very special word to Daniel. It's an amazing word, actually. In the past, we heard Nebuchadnezzar. And he said to the three friends who were to be cast into the fiery furnace, he said, "And who is that God who can save you out of my hand?" But Darius says here in verse 16, that Daniel's God, whom you serve continually, He will deliver you. He confessed the power and the ability of God. And then we don't read anything of a response from Daniel or a defense of Daniel. No, we just read that Daniel was taken and cast into the lion's den, and a big stone was laid upon the entrance. And the governors went home rejoicing, and King Darius went home grieving. He couldn't sleep that night. And early in the morning he went to the lion's den. And what could he really expect? His common sense told him it's beyond hope. Daniel has been torn to pieces. He's gone. His own foolish pride had caused Daniel's death. For who can escape a lion's den? So what use would it be even to go to the lion's den and to call someone who has been thrown in there? What use is it? We think of the women who came to the grave of the Lord Jesus. What use is it to go to the grave? But the last thing we can do, grieving and mourning, they went there. They were going to anoint the dead body of the Lord Jesus. That's the only thing left. Oh, how we loved Him and how He delivered us. How He was glorious in His work. But all their hopes were shattered. No hope. No future. We had trusted that He would be the one who would deliver Israel. They were grieving. But then suddenly the Lord gave that glorious deliverance. The grave was open. You know, the Lord is always the God of full salvation. People who bow down before Him, who have nothing to cover their guilt, have to confess that they have sinned against all of His commandments. They have no righteousness of themselves. And they plead upon the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God can come over into your heart and show you that He is your salvation. He can make it so well with Himself. He speaks peace to the soul. And then He says, "Lo, here am I. Look unto me." And so God's children are taught to hope upon the living God, the one who will deliver them from the snare of the fowler, and that they even will tread upon the adder, and that they will be kept from the deceit of the evil one, that they will even escape the mouth of the lion. These poor people who have nothing in themselves, who only need God to help them, and otherwise there's no hope. The Lord delivers them, gives full salvation, because this Almighty God delights in mercy. And now we see that heathen King Darius, he's walking towards a lion's den, and he was even going to experience God's deliverance in an amazing manner. He stands outside the lion's den with a sorrowful voice in verse 20. "O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions?" And then a voice coming out of that lion's den. "O King, live forever. My God hath sent His angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before Him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O King, have I done no hurt." Daniel was spared. Daniel believed that nothing could separate him from the love of God. He knew that God can save in the greatest trouble. He knew that the Lord was with His people. And the Lord saved him from the lions. But the Lord had a special purpose in all this. And that's again the underlying theme in the book of Daniel. Boys and girls, what is this all about? It's about showing that the Lord God alone is God, and that His word stands forever, that He is the Almighty God, which must be honored and worshipped. And that's what God is displaying here, that the idols and the heathen gods can do nothing, but the God of Israel, that He alone is God Almighty. That's what the Lord is displaying in the book of Daniel. That He controls world history. that he controls what happens in the empires of Nebuchadnezzar and of Darius. The underlying theme is to display God's power against heathen idols. The victory is ultimately not even that the mouths of the lions are always shut, but the victory is that Daniel lived by faith, and that in spite of all the difficulties, that he lived by faith and he withstood the assault of the evil one. And faith gains the victory, even through death. Faith always gains the victory. What the Apostle Paul says in 2 Timothy 4, verse 18, that when he was interrogated before the Roman emperor, he could testify later to Timothy, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. And this is the reality for God's children, that by faith they will overcome the world, and by faith they will overcome the devil and every hindrance. And the Lord will then, as answer 52 says of the catechism, cast his and my enemies into eternal damnation. And that's happening here. Because then those same governors will be cast into the lion's den. And it was very cruel by their wives also, and their children. And they were all torn to pieces. But God gave Daniel the blessed deliverance. Because it's not that the tyrants can do whatever they want, but God, he is the King of Kings. And Darius saw something of that and gave that beautiful confession that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever. And his kingdom, which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and earth. He who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. And then, ultimately in world history, every knee will bow before the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what the future will ultimately lead to. Amen. Shall we pray? O Lord God, we thank thee for thy great power and might. O may we be directed to focus upon who thou art, that thou wilt be at the center of our lives, and that we would obey thee and thy word in all circumstances in our lives, and that we would be led to follow thee all the days of our life. May we be men and women of conviction, and wilt thou so show and display thy comfort and thy glory also in our lives. Lord, may we learn to live with thee and to commune with thee in prayer. And may, Lord, we also in this day and age stand firm that we would realize that thou art leading all the events in world history to the great day of thy second coming. O Lord Jesus, come quickly, we pray, and may we be prepared for that day. Lord, remember us this day further. Bless the Sunday school and catechism instruction, but also be with Reverend Bergsma this afternoon, as he may proclaim thy word here. Endow him with thy Holy Spirit and strengthen him, and guide and lead us all in all things we are called to do. Hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen.